kitchen for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation of Hearts Grant is brought to you by Alive, the Bahamas Football Association, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Da Vinci Printing Innovators, Grace Kennedy Money Service, Jazz in the Gardens, Marco's Pizza, Pinder Tile, Prince Masters, and Bronze Electric Motors.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect on this beautiful, absolutely gorgeous Tuesday afternoon out here, March 4th. Grateful to be in your company, grateful to kind of jam with you the way that we are. I pray that you guys are doing well and continuing to be able to move in the direction that you're called to move in with strength and this kind of determination to make some things happen from one day to another. We're out here. Being able to do what we do, guys, I got to be able to shout out my good, decent people. I got to remind you guys, on the 11th, starting on March 11th to the 16th, they don't want you to miss it, the 2025 CONCACAF Beach Soccer Competition is the championship at Malcolm Park Beach. This is the soccer stadium in Nassau, March 11th to the 16th. Watch the Junkanoo boys take on top teams with Panama and the United States of America. It's free to attend, guys. It's absolutely free. Yeah. Make sure you be a part of that. And come out and support your team. They want you to be able to do that. Got to shout out my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. This is the top of the month. You want to be able to find yourself in the position where you get those things taken care of in that kind of a space. So make sure you go check them out, guys. 341-1AFS, 341-1AFS. You won't go down there. Make sure you get your insurance and prepared to be able to get on the road with decency and in order in this kind of a season, all right? Guys, it's a beautiful day. Make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. All the information's in there. $58 million travel spend since 2008 million. $58 million travel spend. Since 2021, the Office of the Prime Minister travel course far exceeds travel under minutes. This is poor in comparison. All right, guys, you could be able to read the story, but I don't know whether or not it deserves a comparison to any other dispensation. It does deserve you being able to justify what you've done with the people money, $58 million worth of travel. Mm. It does deserve a level of justification and being able to identify with transparency, these are the things that we would have done. This is what we came back with. And that's all it is, you know. That's all it is. When the former minister, Obi Wilshkin, was living, I never had a problem with him traveling, you know, from Grand Bahama, because his constituency is West Grand Bahama. And so I never had a real problem with him traveling. But the issue that I had with him is that he, no matter where he went on Lion Country safaris, out in the Everglades and being able to wrestle crocodiles, I don't know where he went, wherever he went, he didn't bring back a zebra leg for us. That's it.
That's it.
He didn't bring back anything for us. And that was my concern. My concern was whether it don't matter where you go, is whether or not you're productive, because you got access to these rooms internationally because of the diplomatic passport that the Bahamian citizens afford you to get. That ascension to the position that you've had gave you the access. You didn't get here on your own merit. You didn't get here based upon what you would have done independently and individually. You got here because of your affiliation with the government and being assigned a task. And so now you have the responsibility of being able to come back with a report.
That is true.
And tell me what you spend the money on. That's it. And so this comparison to Minis, and this, and I don't know whether or not this is you can justify these particular things.
No.
Let me tell you why.
It's difficult to.
It's difficult because during Minis' time, there wasn't even travel. You couldn't even travel.
But I know you would recognize that. I just knew you would.
You couldn't even travel.
Yeah, COVID-19 lockdowns.
Everybody was locked down.
Yeah.
You understand? You couldn't even travel. And so drawing the comparison to that is, it pales in comparison, right? Mm-hmm. You could draw a comparison to the travel that happened under Christie's administration.
That would be fair.
No, that would be fair.
That would be fair.
Because during that time, of there course, was you had up freedom and down, move and so forth
yes.
and so on.
Yes.
And so you had at least, well, if minister term is 4.5 years, in 2 years you couldn't move. Whatever he would have saved, the potential of what he would have saved in those particular areas is not as a result of his lack of desire or lack of invitations to being able to get to these spaces. You couldn't travel point blank.
Yeah.
And so we just want to be able to be fair and balanced in the preach of these things.
You want the money.
But $58 million is a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah.
$58 million in four years is a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah.
And we haven't even hit the four-year mark. September would make the 4 years this year.
Well, I want to agree with you, Howard.
Let me introduce you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is my good friend sitting here with me. He's none other than Garth Roseborough, being able to sit with you. Okay, go ahead, my brother. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, Howard, that you're quite correct. To do a comparison from the time of Christie or, you know, to this particular point would be accurate. It would be fair. I think you can do a proper comparison in such a way. I know there's inflation costs, of course. But, of course, at the same time, when you said the rationale for travel, the safaris and et cetera, skiing in the mountain slopes of Switzerland or whatever, which is spending this money on? Give us the report so we could understand where the $58 million has gone. That's all we're simply saying.
No.
Because it may be justified.
Listen. When you go on travel for government, when you go on travel for private sectors, you have, they give you a stipend.
Stipend.
Okay, whatever the stipend
per diem,
is. Per diem, stipend, whatever you get. That's your business. Nobody care about that. You take care of yourself when you're over there.
Mm-hmm.
We don't care about your time off, okay? We care about the conference that you went to, the information that you have. We care about what you would have received and bringing that back to the Bahamian people. My concern is not the spending of $58 million at the forefront. My concern is the value that they've brought back to the Bahamian people in terms of education, exposure, opportunities, relationships, whether or not they forge the potential of specific contracts and certain ideas. What have you done in terms of this investment to bolster a lively and progressive economic environment?
A robust economy, yes.
What have you done with the $58 million?
This is
only an investment.
Yeah.
I don't care if you went to Djibouti.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care where you gone. My only concern is while you are there, you are about your father's business. I just get preachy. I need to calm down. My only concern is whether or not you are about your father's business when you gone over so.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't been about your father's business, what you doing? You wasting our money. Now that's where the row come in. Afterward, you're wasting our money, cousin. And we're going to have to ask you to excuse yourself from these particular divisions and this department. That's all this is. Now, the Office of the Prime Minister just has to be able to justify, not through the lens of we've carried 58 people at this time, we carry 125 people during this time, the government of the Bahamas during this time. And so we identify the finances for this to be able to ensure that the Prime Minister could be able to reach all these various consulates and council generals. And that don't have nothing to do with nothing. We asking what productivity can you say you brought back? Show me the zebra tail.
That's what we wanted, at least for the first 3.5 years, and we didn't get it. At least I didn't get it. You may have gotten it, Howard.
I get it. If I'm asking for it now, I could get it.
But I didn't get it. I'm sure there's somebody out there who's going to tell you that they got it, but we didn't get it. At least I didn't get it. you know.
And you know, I'm as much as I like Fred Mitchell in his particular capacity, I believe that his arguments is showing his age.
Yeah. I'm getting cranky too in my old age, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I am getting a bit cranky.
His arguments is showing, and I don't mean his physical age, I mean his political age.
Yeah.
That he has seen so much before. And that his comments gone. It's a cyclical cycle of the exact same thing in these particular areas. And it's nonsensical for the people to talk about something. If you were here long as I was here, then you'd realize that this thing can never stop. So you might as well shut up about it. It's essentially what I'm reading here. Is what I'm seeing.
But we don't take that type of idea too well.
Yeah, but he has to remember, every year there is a light bulb that goes off in a particular demographic's mind. For me, that was during 24, 23, 24, 25, that awakening into my social responsibility and understanding, right? I was never taught about politics in my school. When I went to 8 Mile Rock High School, I was never taught politics. We don't have civic classes. We have history classes. I was taught about Christopher Columbus.
That's what we do.
And when I didn't take Christopher Columbus, the elective was for me to be able to take geography.
American history.
So I could be able to do geography and identify the longitude, latitude, strategic locations, blah, 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 and talk about those things in comparison to learning about the real history and the political environment of the Bahamas. I've never learned about that in school. The only thing I ever knew when I was in school was FNM, PLP. Who you voting for when you get out? You vote along the lines of your family because no one empowers you with information from a governmental standpoint in school. I don't know if they do it now. Belinda, call me and tell me if they do it now. I don't know if they do it now. But because I was blinded and consumed with what's happening from a European standpoint, from an American standpoint, and never been able to be taught about the culture and the politics that exist in here, I don't know. So Fred Mitchell, your position of being able to identify the nonsensical nature of the argument that talks about travel, this is an opportunity for you to be able to empower people with information. That's it. There's a generation that doesn't know. Explain this to them. Say to them the government has a responsibility for being able to go off and identify these things, our relationships, the diplomacy in these areas can do this, this, and this, and that. This is what our expectations are. That's all we want. But you can't be flippant and dismissive because you believe that you're talking to a group of men or women that should know this. They don't know. Talk to me. How are you talking? Am I making sense?
Yeah, man. You saw it.
They don't know.
All I can say is amen.
They don't know.
We don't know. We just don't.
Well, if we knew, we wouldn't even ask. What you do with $58 million? This worse than USAID. This worse than USAID.
The respect given to the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, the Honorable Minister for Fox Hill, the Foreign Affairs Minister, et cetera, Cabinet Minister, et cetera, is one of like you said, his own political maturity. But I noticed the strength in which he now exudes comes across to me now as becoming a bit arrogant. I might be wrong for saying it, but he is extremely strong. I don't see a rebuttal coming in this regard, a strong rebuttal, but he's almost felt his strength as if he knows that he is unmatched at this particular time, and he can casually say, you know, criticism over government travel is nonsense. And then he tells you PLP all the way, you know, it's like, what you bothering me for? What are you even mentioning this for? It is what it is. You got to live with it and take it, and that's just the end of the conversation.
Well, it only says, and Fred, I always have to be able to give you a...
you're not supposed to complain about this.
Sort of preamble before I start to talk about you more specifically, because I want you to know that I've learned a great deal. Anytime he opens his mouth, I shut up and listen to him. I might as well tell you the truth. Right? Now, if I have criticisms or if I have constructive criticisms, I always will say it after I ingest what he says.
So you don't do that for everybody?
No.
You don't?
No.
You don't give everybody a fair opportunity?
No, yeah, no, you could talk, but I'm not listening to you.
You serious?
Not everybody. No, I've given you a chance. A lot of people I've given a chance to listen to them before, and they've proven themselves foolish. I'm not going to sit down and listen to you progressively.
Is that when you press that button on the telephone and tell people, oh, thank you very much for calling?
No, not for everybody.
Not for everybody, for some people.
Some people. we've had our fill.
Enough of them.
Some people be, and politics also. Some people, we've had our fill. I have it every time Fred Mitchell speaks, especially when he get into this. He's trying to get poetic with the situation.
He gets into a zone.
Yeah, he gets into this thing, right? And he gives, he recalls a personal story, right? And those are always interesting to me. I always enjoy this sort of an idea because his quest and eventual conquest of politics has placed him in this position where he has a lot of political battle scars. I like to hear these stories.
Okay.
These are good stories. You understand? I like to hear his stories. I like to hear Hubert Ingraham's stories, former Prime Minister Hubert Ingraham. I like to hear Perry Christie's stories, former Prime Minister Perry Christie. I like to hear Sean McQueenie's stories. I like the old guard.
Okay.
When they got a good story, I won't hear that. A lot of these young fellas start off, they would tell me a story. Sir, you didn't go through nothing there. You need to shut up and tell me about the numbers on the paper today. You understand? These young fellas have gone, they've gone through nothing yet. Some of these young fellas, not all of them. But if you have something, you construct that and put it forward, my point. I listen to Fred Mitchell, his posture, and always glean from it. I can be able to grab something from it and say, wow, I like this story. Wow, I like this particular thing, right? And I like his determination and posture as a, he's very poised and calm. He's not a radical person.
Okay.
Right? So as a chairman, he's not a Bradley Roberts.
Right? Okay.
Bradley Roberts was tenacious.
And aggressive.
He was aggressive. Mm-hmm. He was big Boisterous. Bad Brad. He was big bad Brad. And that's not
Fred Mitchell.
That's not Fred Mitchell. That's not. And Fred Mitchell has never, not for the length of time that I've known him, in terms of studied him and read up on him, he's never modified his posture, his poise, his focus to be able to mimic or mirror another person in politics.
So when you listen to Fred Mitchell, you're saying to me that you're almost certain that there's something that you can
glean. There's a nugget in this.
From what he has to say.
There's a nugget here.
Okay. And whereas I cannot take that away from you.
Listen, I need to keep sifting this water or sifting this sand rather. And I'm being able to identify whether or not I could find even the remnants of gold if I didn't believe that there was gold here somewhere.
Yeah, but sometimes you have to, Howard. And I'll tell you why. You're a biblical man, you know, based on the Bible. You recall the story of the young man that was given the commandment to, when he went into Bethel, he was not supposed to come out the same way he went in. He wasn't to eat any bread, and he wasn't to drink any water. That was a commandment from God. And he went into the city, and he met the old prophet. And the old prophet said to him, "Do you know who I am?"
And he
Eat the bread.
He ate the bread because
the water.
He rejected the concept and idea of where he went it in. He went in there, and because he looked at the people's face, just like Moses.
And that's what I'm saying, Howard.
If you want to get preaching, we can do this.
I said, but we gotta give these young people a chance too.
No, but we have a determination.
There may be purpose of God.
No. But I don't know whether or not you understand what
I understand
saying.
What you're saying.
I'm
talking about the sifting process now.
Everyone don't have gold.
But you don't know who does at any given time.
If I gone into Bethel with a very clear understanding that everyone don't have gold, why would I waste my time chipping at rocks that ain't have nothing?
But you didn't even know the donkey was going to talk. You didn't know that. I didn't know that until I read it, that the donkey spoke and said, "Boss man, you can't." When his eyes was open, he saw the angel with the flaming sword. I'm just saying, give people a chance.
You missing my point.
I'm missing it.
I give everyone a chance.
No, you're giving Fred them a whole stage. And the young person, you look at them on the side, you can find a nugget in this. That's all I said.
Or the Fred?
Or the Fred, you ain't wearing with Fred. You say, I know I can get a nugget.
I know I can get a nugget.
But the younger fellow, you say, I want of any nugget in there. Let me see if any nugget. Because I don't think no nugget in there. I ain't listening.
But I know them by their fruits.
Yeah, but fruits change.
No. How the hell the fruit could change from the apple tree?
Because it's gone from green to ripe.
No, that ain't change.
That's change, man.
That is maturity. That ain't change.
That's metamorphosis. It change.
No. It ain't gonna be orange.
One instant could change the situation.
It ain't gonna be orange.
It happened for me.
It ain't gonna be orange coming out of the apple.
Yesterday
tree.
Was bad as hell. I should have been dead.
Yesterday?
Yeah, the other day.
Okay.
But now look at me. I a little better now.
Praise God.
Every now and then the old boy come back. I'm just saying, Fred, you're a smart guy. I know you have the gift of discernment. That's what we call it in biblical discernment. The gift of discernment. But every now and then, you know, we get a good surprise.
Yeah, but that is the exception.
Yes.
I only
The Bible's full of exceptions.
No, that is the exception. But if we move by the principles of the rule, we wouldn't waste our time.
You know what I mean? I ain't going to fight you today, y'all. But I can't fight you. I don't have the energy to fight you today. I'm going to let you carry that one.
But my only point was is that because Fred Mitchell has something to offer, I give him time. I give him leeway. I tell you, the senior politicians.
So is he right or wrong? Is he right or wrong on this?
He's wrong.
Okay, so you got no nugget? You got any nugget out of this?
I have to ingest this information. He's justified in what he says based upon the rhythm of politics that exists in our country. I cannot say that he's not right.
Okay.
As it relates to what our expectations is in the New Day administration for accountability and transparency, he's wrong.
So you got a nugget from him?
The nugget is based upon the history of what has happened in our country over the past 3-4 decades. He's absolutely correct. Why are you wasting your time on nonsensical issues that continue to be able to reoccur?
Mm-hmm.
However, a New Day administration with the responsibility of being able to talk to us about accountability and transparency should at least take the time out to be forefront with us and tell us where the hell our $58 million is.
Okay, sir.
Amen?
I see you.
I can't get no amen.
You got amen on your phone. It lit right up.
I ain't gonna fight you.
You want to see a preacher? You want to offer it? You want tithes? What you want from me today?
I can fight you. No way, guys. I want you to give me a call and be a part of the conversation. 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. Anywhere from the family of islands. 242-300-5720. Hit me up. 422-4796. Let's take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation.
Bahamas. Join Sherwin Gardner for the Find Me Here album launch on February 28th, 7 p.m. at Bahamas Harvest Church, JFK Plaza. Featuring from the USA, Kalante Gavin and Katiri B, and Positive from TNT. This will be one epic night full of blessings. Get tickets at a live events app or Bahamas Harvest Church and SherwinGardner.com. A blessing's gonna find you here. Powered by Alive.
Attention Marco's Pizza lovers in Freeport and to our Cable Beach customers. We have heard you. Marco's $10 carryout, one large, one topping pizza is now available at all locations. That's right. Whether you live out east, west, Marco's has you covered. Call in or order online and pick up in restaurant today. Marco's is getting bigger and better by the moment. This unbeatable deal is available for a limited time only.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect here, being able to do the things that we do as often as we possibly can. Do this for the remembrance of me.
Oh, mercy. You really appreciate it.
You know that? The Anglican Church.
I went to Catholic school.
You went to Catholic school?
Oh, of course I did.
Oh, so you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I was still saying Hail Mary, full of grace.
The Lord is with thee. Blessed
thou. Our Father prayer, but still looking at the gal in my glass. I understand.
We used to sing it in the Anglican Church.
Sing it?
Hail Mary, Mother of God.
Well, sing it.
Pray for our sinners now the hour of our death. I'm singing it for you.
You was an altar boy, do it?
Yes, I was.
You was an altar boy?
Pray for our sinners,
used to drink the wine?
Mother of God. Yes, I used to.
And you know, carry the boat. Else, eh?
I used to do the whole thing.
The whole thing. Yeah. You got the bottle after the service, though?
No, well, once you confirm. Well, listen, I come from the space and family where we were blessed. My Grammy always had 20 gallon of Colorasi. We always used to take a little swig, right?
By the time she was 12 years old,
we was already confirmed.
Yeah.
In church, right? So we already go through the confirmation classes and everything like that, right? And so at 12 years old, around Christmas time, it was a celebratory time for the family. And so Grammy would say, just take a little taste, baby. Don't drink too much. Take a little taste. My Grammy is 96 years old. My Grammy's 96 years old.
She's still with us.
96 years old.
Well, hello, Grammy.
Her time in dispensation was where you put a little, the baby crying too much, you put a little
touch in there.
A little touch in the milk.
Make it feel nice.
In the milk, right? And they used to use cornstarch in the milk when I was growing up 40 years ago, right? So my brother used to have like cornstarch in his milk, right? So all these things have changed over time. But this is the time and era that I've come from.
You see why our children in Obama are so bad. And then you go in the bush and you light up a little supplement you find.
Yeah, because I had family members who used to smoke tobacco.
So you get one or two of them out there and you go in the bush and you light it up.
No, but I had the can of tobacco. We used to teeth a little bit, right?
Jesus, Moisey.
Me and my cousins was the worst.
I see why your country to me is the worst.
And then we go get the little banana leaf. I'm telling you, this is true.
Y'all were potential herb smokers.
No, you only do what the environment show you to do. my granddaddy used to smoke cigars every day. All my uncles smoked cigars every day.
Y'all was cool like that.
Tobacco in the house, the old pipe. The pipe we used to take. This was in the house. And so your idea of maturity was just through the lens of what you've seen in your environment. And so you gravitate towards those things. And then eventually as you grow older, you say, maybe this ain't for me. Maybe that ain't for me. And, you know, you wrestle with some stuff, but you only get to that point after maturity.
Well, you know, Howard, we've come a long way as a country. I was impressed today. I went to Nassau Street to the courthouse. You know, I had a situation where they misplaced my summons, my effort to remove a tenant. And so I got to go through the whole process now all over again. I got to catch the tenant first and serve them. And then you got to lose it a second time. But I saw a bunch of new lawyers in there. I mean, a bunch of young people with milk around the mouth. They're lawyers, man. And Howard Grant, as much as I was impressed with the way they were dressed, I got frightened. I said, man, this much young people believe you could put on a coat and a tie and make all this money?
Don't be frightened.
I shouldn't have been frightened?
No.
Is that tomorrow for us?
No, you should have been hopeful. And you should have been really overwhelmed in your heart to see that there are still young people with aspirations to do something in this country. They want to make something of themselves.
But it wasn't just aspiration, Howard.
They was working.
This is the problem I have, because guess what?
No, let them work.
This ain't traffic court.
This ain't court to remove
people out the house.
In 10 to 15 years, people can be your KCs.
The parking lot was full with cars, with people, with problems. Issues. I saw a lady yesterday when I went to, and I don't like going to the courthouse. I don't like going to Princess Margaret. Once you start going to these places, it's like you can't stop. But I was there yesterday, and the woman came. She apparently worked as a cook or chef in a hotel. And she said, where you come to collect the things? So the officer said, what? Who you come to collect it from? Say, my son, they sending him up. She said, but I ain't got much time. I got to get back to my job. I said, well, Jesus, Lord, these children got their parents leaving their job to come collect the things, the car keys and the things. My God, what type of country this is, man? What y'all young people doing to your parents? What you parents doing to your children? What? I mean, the parking lot pack full. Like back in the day when you used to go to church, the parking lot pack.
It's, for me, because I live in this community and I see some things. I don't equate it to what parents have done and what the parents haven't done. Okay. So my oldest son is 20 years old, 19 years old, right?
Your oldest son?
My oldest son is 19 years old. So 20 years ago, my grandmother would have been 76 years old, 20 years ago. Now, the family that I come from, we live in a yard. This is like a tribe, right? So you get an uncle house, Grammy house, auntie house, everybody house in the yard. You build your house in the property, okay? Everybody help you build your house on this particular property when it's your time.
Okay, that sounds good.
Now, when it's time to go to work, little children stay home with somebody in the yard. You always had somebody in the yard.
Okay.
Grammy in the yard.
That's what you call a village.
This is how we grow up.
Okay.
Okay, when mommy didn't want to go out, there was always someone home.
Who's in charge?
Mommy don't have to say, I got to drop you somewhere. And make calls ahead of time. She could get up and go where she won't go. Because I get by my cousin anyhow. We get in the bush all of our skin began rummaging, whatever we began to. Mm-hmm. There was always someone in the yard. That has changed over the years. No one is to teach the children the culture of what it means to be Bahamian. No one is to teach the children the culture of what it means to be a part of a tribe and a community, because Grammy is now working. The daughters are working. Grammy is working. Everyone has to work. And then you working, you had children, you got to send them to daycare. You got to send them to someplace or someone to be able to watch. You can't trust Cousin George or Cousin TG to watch the children, because we've seen these particular things play out.
Yes.
And so as a result of the breakdown of the traditional family or even a cultural idea of what existed in the country, you're seeing there is a void. The children don't have their daddies. They don't have a male figure in their life. They're around a lot of this estrogen energy, this feminine energy. They're learning the wrong things. Mm-hmm. They're acting out in a wrong way. And the mommy don't have time to try to be able to correct that, because she's the nurturer and the disciplinary is not there.
My God.
And so because that is happening, you find the courthouse filled with things. This is why I got to commend the government for being able to take even incremental steps towards being able to rectify these things. But if they're really concerned about this country, as opposed to concern about climate change and what's happening from an external standpoint, or, you know, how do we resolve the Haitian issue and simultaneously leave the Haitians in the charge? If you're really concerned about those things, you'd really emphasize and put significant emphasis on education and the intangibles in our society. Mm. There are some things that you can do now. Mm-hmm. There are some things that you could do now.
But there are psychologists,
psychiatrists, shrinks, all these things here that needs to be able to unravel the weed, the twine, that ball of yarn in people's minds about issues that happened to them while they were young. And they don't understand, why was I touched like this? Why was I stolen from? Why did they beat me like this? Why did these particular things happen? And you mature with those things and your mind is still confused. No one to help him with that. Because Grammy working, your daddy them ain't there, and no one's to help you navigate that. So when you act out, it ain't as a result of your hatred. It's as a result of your lack of understanding of how to be able to really assimilate.
Well, right here
to society.
On your show, The Foundation, we've often spoke about the non-effectiveness that we saw. Not that government is totally that, but just saying that government could have done more in the first 3.5 years. Then we mentioned certain members of parliament that we felt were doing okay or doing quite well. And there were those who simply was just missing the mark. We recognized one or two of them that were pretty strong, and we could not basically disagree as to their performance. We realized that they were doing a great job. This morning I listened to the news on Guardian Radio with Morning Blend. And I listened to, I think Wayne Monroe was one of those persons, Miles Rorota was another one of those persons, that mentioned that all of these new community centers are now being planned to be positioned in particular areas of New Providence. And I said to myself, isn't that interesting how Jamal Strawn, he built this, I mean, it's an incredible building in Nassau Village. It used to be an eyesore, and now it's a total turnaround. And now, 3.5, going on 4 years later, everyone now seems to be catching on to this itch that, you know what, maybe I need to put a center in my community that's going to justify that I'm working.
They're 20 years too late.
So you think too late now isn't going to be effective in terms of the polls?
They're 20 years too late. Let me take a telephone call. Y'all want me to talk about this? I appreciate what Jamal has done, and I can't diminish his actions or his efforts, because he's a brand new politician.
Okay.
He's brand new to this thing.
So you can listen
and
to him?
Whatever he's done, it's in his heart. He don't have a story to tell me yet. He have work to do.
But you can find a nugget, though.
He has work to do. He don't have a story to tell me yet. He have work to do. His stories will come in years to come when he could tell me, boy, how would you know the hell I had to go through? Or you know what I had to go through to try to be able to get this center off and blah, blah, blah. And the opposition I would have had. And how, that's the story that I won't hear. But he can't tell that now, because he's still forging relationships. So he has work to do. And that's why you get grace with maturity. He hasn't reached that political maturity just yet. Not that he's immature, but he needs some time. So I'm not going to fight him.
I think we all do, but I'll let you go. Take your call.
Caller, go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Howard Grant. Good afternoon, God.
What's up, 52?
Hey, good afternoon, my boy.
It's way the whole 1 hour. It was pretty wild. It was almost up to 25 minutes. But that's all right.
I appreciate you, Chris.
I got a joke for you in Garth, you know.
Go ahead.
This is not the Roth, right? But I went to an Anglican school, and so they, you know, our minds are being raped as far as Mary being a virgin all of her life and Pope being vicarious Christi. But, so, I mean, the Pope is in the hospital now. He's dying, right? I mean, so, I mean, come on, man.
Fellas, tell me the Pope dreamed about demons.
This is what we are being upholding. Mm-hmm. Mary was a virgin all of her life. The immaculate deception that you call conception. All of these things we are being brainwashed to believe, right? But let me get on with you right now. You, there are gold nuggets. You realize, do you think that having children changes one's psychological outlook on life? I believe you say that, yes or no?
I do. I believe it.
All right.
Is.
Especially if he's a matured man, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So I know you was when you was talking about the sad character. I don't want to call him in because there's a dangerous type mafia going on in this country now. You saw already somebody dumped some guy out there out the South Ocean the other day who's supposed to be some gay, right? But you can get a nugget from actually watching an animal on land or a bee, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can always get a nugget.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I know you was talking metaphorically, but I don't want any nuggets from somebody who's fruitless and who lived over 7 decades. You
Jesus.
See what I'm saying? That's just the way it is, man. Some people sit down and they listen to rich people talk about how they get successful and they never become successful. That's what it is, you know, Howard. Everybody wants to observe something and promise they can make everybody rich, right? But you're part of the problem because you didn't contribute to the population. And so my mango tree didn't bear this year, and I'm very vexed. So you can imagine that my mango tree didn't bear for 70-something years.
52.
No matter, B.
You are wilding up.
Everything is in quality. People changing. The earth is changing. You're talking about climate changing. And, like, how come nobody's really, really willing to have a real molecular, real discussion about climate change and the farce behind it? I mean, it's basically just a social engineering project, man. Most people don't even have enough sense to even know that, but they sit and talk. What do you mean climate changing? People changing. The politicians changing. I changed and I was 28, 60 now. My hair getting great. Listen, man, Howard, you got sense. You know, I really would like to embrace a real dialogue with anybody as it relates to this climate change, you know. Because this is a bunch of... This is just a social engineering project designed to steer humanity in the way they want you to go and to enrich the developed countries who are already rich so they have their green products and their green ideas and their green concepts. But really, the population is green because they're accepting all of this BS. Give thanks.
I appreciate you, 52. Next telephone call. Caller on the line. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller. Next caller on the line. Caller. Next caller on the line. Go ahead. 323-623-2323-254-316.
Howard, how are you doing?
Hey, what's up, Graham?
You're messing around with your phones again.
What you say?
Truth and common sense. They're gonna try to mess up your system. What am I saying? We've moved mentorship out of the country. What do I mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
How do you take out in the U.S., it was a study done. How do you take out young African-American communities? Move daddy. And we've discussed this before, Howard. You know, some places in Europe, they actually pay the family to stay together.
Mm-hmm.
Tax incentives and some instances, physical cash.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want the white people family to stay as a nuclear family where the children are being raised.
That's by design.
Well, it's in the Bible, but if you don't believe the Bible, you could look at natural order. The lion goes out, he hunts, gets what he needs to bring home. Think he likes to do that? He's putting his life at risk.
Mm-hmm.
But he's leaving the cubs home with the mother in the den, protected, because mm-hmm. she could fight too. She could go out and hunt down some elk and bring some stuff home to eat if dad's dead. But she doesn't, because by natural order design, or by God's design, whichever one you... I could argue with the atheist, too. But when we moved both parents, and I want you to listen to this carefully, when we moved, the biggest atrocity is when we moved both parents, Howard.
Mm-hmm.
Mom had to go make beds, serve drinks, food, in the hotel, with no ownership, not a share. I go to a fancy coffee place and I ask them, I say, you could serve me a coffee, but could you buy some shares in this company in Seattle? No, I can't buy shares in this company. Well, what you going to have when you retire? What we going to have when we retire, when we leave the hotel making bed for 40 years?
Nothing. One little small party with some plastic cup. That's it.
If you're lucky, you might get a party. And it is so sad. to see people negotiating Egypt for their people, slavery, and the destruction of their youth. But while those elite people of all colors have their children go into the best schools anywhere in the world.
But you and I talked about this yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
We talked about this is by design.
That's
we talked about the jackals. We talked about the corporatocracy. We talked about the ideas. We talked about the how that manifests in our society. Mm-hmm. And we could see those things blatantly, but because we need to survive, no one can ponder on how do we rectify this issue. We don't have the time. We don't have the energy to be able to put into that. We have to figure out how we can eat today.
But they have you in survival mode.
That's how we live.
Yeah, we got your eggs cheaper, child, but your peanut butter still $12.
You don't need peanut butter. Just eat a boiled egg. This is what they want you to do.
Howard, listen, I love this. And you know what? Let me show you something. Anyone listening, Howard is very intelligent. Anybody can mix comedy and cynicism off the cuff like that, that shows extreme intelligence, just so you know when you're looking to, for a spouse or to hire some people, test them that way. But I can leave you. If you don't fix the Bahamas quick, you know what you can have? You will have some third world looking country that we don't need to look like. So let's fix this Bahamas quick for us this time, Howard, okay?
Thank you, man. I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. I really do. Always like that. Always like your contribution like that. But God, this is the truth, man. I think we kind of breeze over these things. We're so eager to be able to identify the government for their downfall and what they haven't done and what they need to do. There has been, and this is why I say I have an issue with both political organizations at this time in my life. At this time in my life. They don't have, none of them, not the FNM or the PLP. And I really don't believe that they have the wherewithal to be able to cast a dream, a bigger dream for a better Bahamas. This is what we talked about a couple, maybe last week sometime. I wrote it down and it never left my spirit as yet. I thought about it. And I wrote about it, a bigger dream for a better Bahamas. Mm-hmm. No political organization has offered that. And now a lot of persons are being able to call and tell me about what the COI, and I have not looked at the COI thing just yet. I have to do that. Graham told me last night how I would just check out COI.com. So if you guys are interested in being able to read more about what the COI is offering, COI.com. But my point is that no one's offering a bigger vision. Their vision are within the confines of their organization. The vision that they have is for you to identify their political organization as superior to another. But their vision is not big enough to house all of us in this country. There needs to be a bigger vision for a better Bahamas. They don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
None of them. And so my enthusiasm, if you can't come out here and really being able to speak truth to power without being able to see the specks of me not looking at, because I'm looking at the specks in your eye, the beam in your eye. And as you tell me about what the PLP has done or you tell me about what the FNM has done, you can't see your face, but sir, you got booger all over that.
Mm.
You got egg yolk all over your face and you telling me about what another man has done. And this is what I said. You see, Michael Pintard in his posture likes to be able to indicate what a government led by Michael Pintard would be.
Mm-hmm.
But not saying to us or continue to reference about what this administration, what the FNM has done. If you're going to provide me any references about what the FNM has done under Hubert Ingraham, under Hubert Minnis, I have to diminish what you say.
Mm-hmm.
Because we fired both Hubert Ingraham and Hubert Minnis. And in fact, your organization has fired Hubert Minnis entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And so to sit in a posture and indicate what a free national movement would have done prior without being able to say, this is what the party has done before. This is how we're going to fortify that. This is our position. It seems as though it's a continuation.
But they don't like when you speak like that.
But am I making sense?
Yeah, but see, Graham.
Speak like this, it seems like a continuation.
Graham is saying it's the truth. We have a huge issue in this country with truth. The country cannot move forward until we become more truthful with ourselves. What Howard is saying is that the country or the nation that we are looking for, those people who possess vision, we don't see the plan to get there. We're hearing a lot of stories about hope and dreaming and what we can contextualize as being sensible, but we know from past
experience. All of this is just safe. This is just safe.
Yeah, it's just been rhetoric.
It's politically safe to say these things.
In the words of Fred Mitchell, it's nonsense.
It's nonsense.
That's his word, nonsense.
Now we could grab onto that. This is nonsense.
It's just nonsense.
Both the FNM and the PLP are giving me politically safe, politically correct answers that is acceptable, or they what they believe is acceptable
for
this time.
But it's nonsense. It's just nonsense.
But they are afraid to step out into the unknown.
Yeah.
They are afraid to be able to step out into the dreams and aspirations that exist beyond the ether for the Bahamian people.
But you know, Howard, you know what the issue really is, to be honest with you, now that I'm listening to you, and I know you're going to break. But you know what the real issue is? That which you speak is not of you. And people don't understand that. The reason why they can criticize you is because they think they're listening to Howard Grant. They don't understand that there's something deeper within you that is speaking through you to them. And they're not prepared to accept the messenger. Because the message is no good unless they like or appreciate the messenger. This has been the problem in the Bahamas. We've been liking these messengers that have no message.
I don't get caught up in that.
But you know what? We have to learn how to listen to the message regardless as to who the messenger is.
I don't get caught up in that, though. I come out here to do a job.
But it's coming from within you, Howard.
And when I finish, no matter how big or small I is, I am still going to rot to nothing.
Okay.
Because we are but filthy rags. Fulfill the purpose while you're here, execute that thing, and leave. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's take a break, guys, and get back after this.
The Foundation.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Get to stacking up the flavor at Burger King Nassau with its new Stacker King lineup. It doesn't get any bigger, better, or meatier than the Stacker Kings, which feature bacon, cheese, and a delicious stacker sauce, all piled on as many flame-grilled Whopper patties as you can handle. For the chicken lovers, try the all-new Crispy Chicken Stacker, or pile your mornings high with a croissant sandwich stacker loaded with meat, cheese, and stacker sauce on a warm, flaky croissant. Don't miss out on the bold flavors of the Stacker King collection, available at Burger King Nassau.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect. On this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, tomorrow is going to be a little bit different. We're going to do some things a little different. I got at the top of the hour, we're going to have Ancient Chinese Secrets, so we're going to have Ms. Yang here. And then at the bottom of the hour tomorrow, we're going to have a nursing college come in and being able to talk to us about nursing scholarships that are being paid for, and they're looking for candidates to go off to school. So you're going to hear more about that tomorrow on the show, all right? So at the top of the hour, it's going to be something. And then on Thursday, we're going to be able to have, we're scheduled to have Raynard Rigby to be able to sit with us on Thursday. So we're not doing the Small Business Thursday. We're going to sit with Raynard Rigby and really be able to talk about the state of the union, I suppose, and the country the way that it is, and being able to have that. Then Friday, we'll get back to what we do on a regular basis here. But we're just having conversation just about being able to go back and forth, identify these things, and I guess our perspective and how things are being done. If you want to join in the conversation, I'd love you to do that. Give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720. You can hit me up, 422-4796. Here is it's a text that's coming. She says, Howard, please correct Garth. You just finished saying how everyone too caught up in life to have the solutions. So how can Garth act like you have the solutions? Truth is that the persons whom have the solutions, y'all see them as lesser. But what do you expect when you give when they give up their life to seek the answers that we seek. This is a text that's coming through.
I think they missed the point there, Howard. I said that the answer is within you.
I don't think I have the answer.
No, I never said you.
No.
I never said you. I said they're looking at you.
Now, I can tell you one thing. I believe that the answer exists within the body.
In individuals.
Yeah, but I'm saying when we collectively get together and we contribute,
yes,
we could be able to find a solution.
It's a puzzle that can be solved. But what I'm saying to you, Howard, is that, see, these people are not listening. And this is the problem with our nation. Our nation doesn't know how to listen. I said it comes from within you. It's not of you. It comes through you. But we're so focused on you. We're so focused, as you said, on Moses. We're so focused on David. We're so focused on Solomon. We're so focused on Mary and Joseph. We're so focused on Apostle Paul and Saul. And we're so focused on John. These are not the solution. These are not the people who solve situations. It's something from within that comes forth that brings us a solution. It's not us.
I don't know if
we're simple clay. We're just flesh and blood. We're not, you know, you could be Elvis Presley. You could be Michael Jackson. It's not of Michael Jackson. I've listened to Michael Jackson say some things and sing some things. And you know that didn't come from Michael Jackson himself. That had to come from a deeper source. You may not have any faith, you may not believe in God, but it cannot be just of you because it's too great. It's just too humongous to be of you.
And then you read these things that he used to take those pills and go in the oxygen.
That's what he's trying to say to you.
For 42 hours, 52 hours, so forth and so on in the dream realm. And when he come out of the dream realm.
He had visions.
And songs.
Okay then.
And Prince used to do
this. That's what he's trying to say to you. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey and these people. It's not of them. We call their names because that is all that we can see.
They're just the vessels.
But we're just vessels.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that Howard Grant is a great guru. You don't have to hate on Howard. I say that's what I'm talking about. They still focus on you.
Let
me try to talk deeper than you are.
Mm-hmm. So this is Howard. Haitians and some Haitian Bahamians are now trying to tell Bahamians what narrative to say or text. Yet they passed dangerous threats and display contemptuous remarks on social media. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm absolutely lost by this. I even feel like I shouldn't even read that because I don't even know what you mean by that. Anyway, so it says Howard Jamal did not build a community center. IDB built it, and the plan started under the previous administration. Stop it. It sounds like a little pinch of hate, if anything. It's a little pinch of hate because, there's some hate peppered in there, baked into the situation. The underline of it, the foundation of your message is hate.
Oh, Jesus. Oh no.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Oh no.
A little jealousy wrapped in there.
Yeah.
Maybe splattered on the wall.
David was supposed to build a temple, but Solomon did it. Because he spilled some blood. There's a little bit of hate.
Moses was supposed to take it to
Promised Land. But you know, we had to get Caleb and Joshua.
You can see it from a distance.
Yeah.
So the former administration would see the building from a distance. Praise God.
Get the job done.
Praise God. Get the job done, right?
Yeah.
So it says Howard, the only nugget that we get from Fred Mitchell is a political. Okay.
Oh no! Don't read that no further. I then tell that going the wrong way.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that nugget.
This is too much.
That's a heavy nugget.
I can't.
You know what though, Howard? As you're reading, and I know you're going to the phone line.
That's almost like an anvil. That's too much.
While we are so busy fighting each other and tearing each other down, the whole world go into AI. Robots everywhere. You got men replacing wives with robots. You know what I mean? You got wives replacing husbands with robots. Employees are being replaced by robots. You go to China and other places.
Like a nice little warm woman now.
But this,
Jesus.
Yeah, but they got that one that can heat you up too. The car seat can heat you up.
And you got to pour cooling fluid
But don't worry about that. Jesus. The fellas, them ain't got to worry about no backbiting and no complaining and all the rest of the foolishness. And honey, give me $300 in your pocket.
I got to fix a tie rod and all these things like that.
Okay then.
No, it's too much.
But this is where the world is heading. We're still fighting about male representation and female representation. Right now in our country, we have a female commissioner of police, a female president of the Senate, a female governor general, and there's one more we got who in charge. The female House of Assembly, the speaker. four females leading in our nation, and we still have people out there crying, oh, we need more female leadership. We need more female, more female, more female. But look at the young men in our country. We don't need more men to stand up and be strong and to be present in the families and before this nation. I mean, I don't understand our rhetoric and why we complain about, oh, it's a male thing, it's a female thing, it's a marital rape thing. But listen to me, the world is going AI and advancing while we're still bickering and complaining. I'm sick and tired of it. Sick and tired of it. Y'all people just don't want to go nowhere. And you can't force people to go anywhere if they don't want to go somewhere.
So don't fight them.
So we can just stay here and just wallow in the mud.
Yeah, but you do the same thing with Jonah. Do Jonah get dead mad at Jesus? Get dead mad at God. Jonah, go to Nineveh and tell those people if they don't get themselves together, I'm going to kill them. My Jesus, just kill them. That's what he said.
Just let me get to the boat.
Jonah, go to Nassau and tell those people to get their lives together. Unless they go to hell. But Jesus, just wipe Nassau out. Let's kill all the people.
Boy, if a
hundred. But you're wasting my time and go to Nassau. You know these people as murderers and killers and rapists and robbers and thieves and this and that. I got to waste my time for that. You know, they can tell you they're sorry and come right back to you. This is what Jonah did. And guess who ended up dying in the pursuit, running away from the task and the vision?
Yeah, but Jonah, but God still destroyed Nineveh after that, you know.
But understand,
it's just a delayed prophecy.
No, but you have the responsibility because if one soul can be saved, transformed, turned around by this release of God, that's what was by design. You can't stop the will of God.
But you don't realize the message to the Bahamian people is that you need to turn things around. You need to do better. When Hurricane Dorian came, I believed in myself that it was a warning sign to the Bahamian people. I've never seen a Category 5 hurricane that moved 1 mile per hour. 1 mile per hour. It ain't even moving. And the thing's strong as hell over 150 miles per hour. I'm saying to you, that is serious stuff.
I feel like more people died. It's just me and sort of just the observation and the ferocious nature of that storm.
More people had to have been wiped out. My God.
There's some people in the sea right now you ain't find. You'll never find these
people. And my condolences and sympathies to people who have lost loved ones in this tragedy. But you people, if the Almighty Creator of the universe has sent you this sign that he has saved you from this particular wrath, when are we going to wake up and say, you know what, it's not a red thing, it's not a gold thing, it's not a green thing, or black thing, it's not a male thing. It has to be a righteous thing. It has to be a good thing. That's where the nation needs to be. We got to start loving each other. This country, it almost seems how as if we hate when people do well. Because you get a better truck than I do, I'm mad with you. You get a better wife than I do, I'm mad at you. You sure you go to private school, mine going to public school, I'm mad with you. You go to a church and you become the head deacon, I'm mad at you. We find so many reasons to be mad at each other. When are we going to love each other, encourage each other, and say, you know what, man, we could be a better people. And when you do well, I am so excited and happy for you. This is the issue of our country. This is where the crack actually exists.
I told my son a story the other night. Me and him talking now. And I asked him to do something. I tell him to wash my truck. Right?
That's a big truck, Howard. Now, come on now.
Hey,
that's a big truck. That's a big boy truck. Howard, that's a big boy truck. I ain't want to wash your truck.
He's a man.
Yeah, he's a man too, and he don't want to be a man, but I ain't washing your truck.
No.
That's a big truck.
He can wash my truck.
Give me one little parcel.
See what you're doing. You see what you're doing? They got to be man. Let him be man. So I tell him, I say, go to the store, get these things, do this, and blah, 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 blah. Uh-huh. Buy the thing, and I then buy all my stuff that I need for my truck. Vacuum, got everything there. Right? And I like to take up my time. When I get my time, I clean my own truck, right? But I didn't have the time. I tell him, okay. He said, okay, daddy, I can wash the truck. Now, all day pass, I don't know what he was doing on his phone, whatever the case may be, he ain't doing nothing, right? And now night come. Nobody's washed truck in the night. I ain't got no overpass to be able to do it. Night come, he can't wash the truck.
In the cool.
Right? No. In the dark. Yeah, this ain't dust. This dark, night.
He got young people's eyes.
Okay.
He could see in the dark.
So I said to him, I said, but you know, it's amazing that you would take the time out now when the day has already passed. Because night is coming when no man.
Yeah, you know,
I can't even get no amen from you, sir. You need to let me preach.
No, I on your son's side. Right
night
now.
Is come when no man worketh.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Now the night come and the boy won't work.
Let him work the night shift.
No, that don't work like that. And so that you had all day to be able to execute the things that you were supposed to do, and now you're waiting till the night that you can't do this. You say, but daddy, I don't understand this. If you wake up in the morning and the truck clean, what's the big deal?
Yeah, what you worrying about?
I say, see, that's why God can't bless you all right now.
So why you let him wash it and see if it clean in the morning?
No. That's why you can't get blessed right now.
You had a blessing for him.
You had You had, you know, he had $60 there waiting on him, but how he can get that? You had the responsibility of being able to ensure that you do this task, this little thing, that you identify as beneath you, that you identify as less than, that based upon you looking at Howard or looking at Prime Minister Christie or looking at Prime Minister Davis and all these people who get contract and all these things, and now you're giving me mediocre work in your particular capacity. And you're not working like Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 to 28 says, that you're supposed to work as unto the Father. You ain't working like that. Your work is with bitterness, with grumblings, with an attitude, with a posture that says, Jesus, man, why the hell I got to do this? And so now you give me half behind work, straight through, with an expectation to be flourished and flowered and showered with all these gifts and all these things when you haven't shown me productivity, you haven't shown me the steadfast nature of doing these things, and that's the issue with this country. Because we're so consumed with what the next man is doing, because we're so consumed about the Haitians and what they have, we're so consumed about the service that other people are doing, we forget to do our part. Now you're looking at Howard, but you didn't know that I ain't thief nothing. I never sell no coke, no crack, no dope to nobody. You're trying to figure out how Howard get these things. Because in the little that he's given me, God, I said, God, I will do the best I done with the little that you have given me. And I promise you, every time I do the best I do with this little bit he's given me, he just give me more.
Oh, but I got to tell this quick joke. I know you got to go to the lines.
I just want to get a quick little joke. I
took my boat. I took some friends to Berry Islands. I left from New Providence, went to the Berry Islands to fish, right? Went for 2 days. And I came back. And I pulled up in the back of Adelaide. And I'm taking the coolers off of my boat, Howard. Do you know my neighbor called, was that the SID or what you call them other people now, called the DEU for me? Say, the neighbor lifting coke off his boat. Now I try to figure how he gets to that conclusion, I bringing coke off my boat.
How are your business so deep?
I bring in coolers. But I mean, I got coolers with fish. They heavy. But he said they got coke off the boat. And so these behaving people are all up in your business trying to figure out how you get what you get, but they don't understand God can bless you if you do what you're supposed to do.
All you got
to
do is be diligent.
Yeah.
Be diligent in the things that God has given you. What the task that is before you, do that with a very clear understanding that when you do this, you do it unto God. That your blessing that comes, see, but people are more concerned about what other people have.
Yeah.
So you take the little couple dollars you have and you go to the Obeah woman to try to bind up somebody.
You're going to do preaching now. You're going to skip.
No, but it's what people just do. They out here with the edges of their finger black because their hand in darkness. You think they're smoking black and mild and dope? Their hand is in darkness.
You tell me that foolishness still exists in this country?
100%.
Are you serious?
100% these people
Our own behemoth people doing that to us?
Practicing foolishness.
You serious?
They practicing foolishness.
Well, I can't believe that in 2025.
They practicing foolishness. They're practicing people out there practicing foolishness.
That's the deepest form of hatred.
To be able to acquire superficial things. These things don't even make a difference.
My God.
And guess what? As soon as you acquire these things, you can't even keep it. You can't sleep. You know what I'm saying? You only look good for a time. You get these things, you get a bunch of money, then all of a sudden, boom, you don't know why your belly hurting so much. You go down to the doctor, you're sick. This is too much.
Yeah.
Because you put your hand in darkness.
My God.
For the acquisition of material things, this don't make no sense.
It's sad, Howard. That's a revelation.
You got to get your life together. And guess what? Be happy. You see, I tell you, I always was a big boy. And when we used to go on the Discovery Sun, and I won't go to the buffet because we go on the boat.
Let's go to
the
buffet?
Yeah, the buffet was on the boat. Discovery Sun.
Okay.
It's a big, big cruise ship that used to go to Fort Lauderdale.
You go on the buffet. You that
all
big?
Of us go to the buffet.
But you go to the buffet.
The buffet there, sir. What you think I just supposed to do? As a fat person, just sit down to the side and things like
that. Big boy going to the buffet.
We go to the buffet. So my Grammy would say, because I only want a little piece of hot food. I want a cake and things like that. I want a cake. Right? So my Grammy said, come here, baby. Come here, baby. And she used to bite her lip. Come, bring your little, come here. So she said, listen to me. Put a knife to your throat. You don't need to eat all these things. Be satisfied with what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned these particular things. I learned that if you don't have, just do without.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need it so bad that I have to come teeth it. I got to wrap my body in black and sit in your bush to come teeth it. I don't need it that bad. I don't need it that bad. And because we don't have the elders in the yard, we don't have the principals in the yard that Grammy them going to work, that they don't have the principles of what it means to be Bahamian, what it means to be proud, what it means to be strong. You out here teething. Teething for things. Mm. You out here, you doing some strange things for change. These fellas, I watched one video years ago. The fella got Jordans on and don't have a job. But he can't walk. He limping every time he got the fresh Jordans on. But he limping. Fellas laugh at him because, like Gino D. them will tell you, you bust right up. It's the truth. You got to do darkness for the acquisition of material things and expect there to be a blessing on your life. How this can happen?
He limping, he bust right up.
Play that music for me. Bust right up. He play. Go find that. Let me take a telephone call before we go to a break. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Howard Grant.
My brother, what's happening with you? Would you call and tell me about Don Lee today?
Yes, sir.
You had me holding so long, I forget.
Let me remind you what you called me for. You called me to talk about Patricia DeVoe and Don Lee. Go on ahead.
No. I called you to tell you four points. Number one.
Let me hear it.
Growing up, my mother always tell me you don't worry about what people get because you don't know how they get
you
it.
Don't you know how they these people...
Sometimes what they had to do to get what they get... You ain't going to go through that.
No.
Okay, that's one thing.
You might want that to go through you. Praise Jesus. Let's just keep going. Go ahead.
And number two, the egg situation. Mm-hmm. The price on the egg has dropped by more than half. Now the people complaining saying the egg ain't no good.
Hold on. Did you come here to shake the pom-poms to the PLP for dropping the egg price?
No, I'm offering the egg.
Okay, go ahead.
Now the third one. I heard God said that we now have a woman... Commissioner of Police, a woman in charge of the Senate.
You notice I didn't even touch that.
Assembly, a woman,
Governor General.
Then the Deputy Prime Minister and the Prime Minister leave the island. Who do they leave in charge? Glennis Adam, another woman. Check that. And thirdly, and last, with the Haitian situation, that's how long that's holding on. Have you ever heard of Haitian, Maori, or Bahamian, woman or man? And that Bahamian die, and they marry an ex-Bahamian.
After the first marriage, we don't keep up.
No, I said after that the Bahamian person died.
I wasn't keeping tabs on them. But yeah. Go ahead and tell me what you have to say. Go ahead.
You will never see a Haitian or a Jamaican marry an ex-Bahamian.
But this is heavy for you to say,
but
I appreciate your telephone call. He's a decent man. I appreciate that. But I can say this.
I understand what he's saying, though. But I don't have no proof of that.
My wife and I was talking about people committing suicide this morning, right? Because she told me, Mina was talking. And she started to tell me about, intimate instances that we know. People who we would have known of or people who are close to our circles that we would have known of who have committed suicide. And I was coming out of bed. This was like 7 o'clock this morning. And I was getting out of bed and I said to her, I say, it's peculiar that these, she say, I don't know where these people get these things from. I say, it's peculiar that people would take this particular avenue and do this. That people would take on these things, and these are foreign to us. Whilst some people would have been able to take their life into their own hands, historically, globally, worldwide, that they would have done these particular things, and we're no strangers to that. This is nothing that is prevalent in the Bahamian society. You'll hear, sort of a one-off, someone has done this, or accidentally some things have happened. But as of late, a lot of young people have taken their life. And I don't know whether or not this is a cry for help and so forth and so on. And so we was just talking about the fact that, Bahamians don't do this.
Not normally.
And I say, what's peculiar? When you start to mix with people, different nationalities, different races, different cultures, different ethnicities, different backgrounds, and you learn from them, and you mix with them, you marry them, you find some of their cultures become yours, and some of your cultures become theirs.
I can go a bit deeper with you, though.
Because just how he has said, I have, and I can say this on the radio, Just how he has said that you would never find a Haitian doing this and this and that. I've grown up my entire life with Haitians around me. I grew up so much so that when you yell in your name, their next children is your name. Mm-hmm. When you yell your name in the bush, you hear them yelling and they calling their children, they ain't calling you. Because they take the Bahamian name and put, you know, two first name or two last name with it. And so I've never seen a Haitian in my growing up over the years that was homosexual. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that.
You seen it yet? Happen yet?
And it is happening now.
It's happening now.
It's happening now. Now, I'm not saying that this hasn't existed from time immemorial. I'm saying for those persons who have come to our culture in pursuit of a better life, in pursuit of these particular things, they have now taken on some identity of the society that exists here and also the United States of America. And our culture is diminishing. Even the Haitian culture that they kind of be able to wear as a badge of honor is being diminished, and they're losing their flair as a result of their proximity and their pursuit of this idea of democracy. So you can't say what you would never see no more because we're seeing all these things. Talk to me.
Howard, I want to share just a quick experience with you. When I lived in Atlanta, Georgia, I loaned a friend of mine my last $4,000 to assist with saving their house. And I was working at the time. My mother was not well. She had 7 tumors in her body. But I went on a limb for a friend. And in so doing, I lost my car that I'd bought for my birthday. I bought a nice Honda Accord. I lost that. The bank came. One morning I woke up, the car was gone. Still got rent to pay. Still got bills to pay. So I became, for the first time in my life, very distressed. And I would say I was depressed. Mm-hmm. I went into a place within Howard that was so dark, I never knew existed. And a voice just came to me, do you want to see what's at the bottom of this depth? Do you want to know what's down at the bottom of this pit? And I'm looking down, almost psychologically. It's a strange thing, Howard. It's almost as if you're living this in reality, and you're seeing this dark pit, and you're saying, what is to the bottom of such a pit? And if I did not have a good grounding, if I did not have a good base, if I didn't have a good foundation, Howard Grant, I may have desired to really see what was at the bottom of that pit. But what I was bred to be said to me, you don't need to know what's at the bottom of that pit. You need to rise up. You need to climb out. You're smarter than that. You're more brilliant than that. You can overcome these things. You can rebound. And I'm saying to you that the foundation that you set, like you say, with your son, with your children, with your family members, this is just so very important. Bahamian people, as Graham said earlier, we got to go back to our roots. We got to go back to what we know to support each other. We got to instill these things into our people. Like you said, it cannot be just about the things, Howard Grant. It cannot be about materialism. It has to be with something bigger than that. And so what we see when it comes to suicide, when it comes to marrying of spouses, I believe it's a spiritual thing, Howard Grant. It's a spiritual thing. It's something that we cannot harness. We cannot truly identify, but it's greater than us. And until we hold hands with that which is greater than us, we'll continue to wallow in the mud of this confused state that we're in the Bahamas.
I'll begin to fix that. Guys, quick break. I'll be right back after this.
Every weekend, you'll find them there, shooting pool and drinking beer. I'm singing, get drunk again.
Contact DaVinci Printing Innovators today for all your printing needs. Customized receipt books, NCR forms, invitations, event tickets, program booklets, business and ID cards, flyers, posters, and banners. There's scanning, printing, lamination, and binding services. Also, a variety of office supplies. No design, no problem. Dedicated graphic designers are ready to serve you. DaVinci Printing Innovators, located in the Village Road Shopping Plaza. Stop in or call 677-2922 or browse services online at www.davinciprinting242.com. Where printing is an art.
Pender is carrying a new line of tile. The Sky Series of Porcelain comes in 4 colors, tones, shades. There's Sky Noir, Sky Azure, Sky Glance, and this one, Sky Gris. Sky Gris, as you'd imagine, gives you a smoky kind of feel. It's not heavy and depressing, but gives the area a chill feeling. The Sky series comes in two formats, 24 by 24 at 530 a square foot, 12 by 24 at 525 a square foot. I really like this series for big spaces, and being porcelain, they can take a lot of traffic. The Sky series at Pinder Tile.
Bahamas, are you ready? The world is coming to our stand for the 2025 CONCACAF Beach Soccer World Cup Qualifiers. March 11th through 16th at the Beach Soccer Stadium next to the Sydney Poitier Bridge. The Jungle Beach Boys, top five in CONCACAF, taking on Mexico, USA, and El Salvador. Beach party meets world-class soccer. Non-stop action, jungle rhythms, great food, and pure vibes. And it's free. Bring your crew, ring your cowbells, beat your drums, no whistles. March 11th through 16th at the Beach Soccer Stadium. Visit BahamasFA.net for details. Bahamas Beach Soccer, pure vibes.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Let me read this text right now, then go right to the lines. Guys, the lines are wide open. Thank you so much for your holding. Let me read this text right now. I just want to be able to read this. This is Howard, the funny... Honey, I say, Howard, that was a funny story. I bought my house at the age of 23. And 20 years later, the bank took it because I fell on hard times. As a single married mother of three, You know, I could be single and married at the same time.
Single married mother.
As a single married... Anyway, I'm not going to fight you for the story. Go ahead.
She was married, but living by herself. Yeah, she's living by herself, but she married.
She say, as a single married woman...
Yeah, the fella ain't weighing nothing.
Right. As a single married mother of three, and you know, the lawyer sat right in front of me and asked me, well, how you got this house in the first will? In the first place? Well, you tried. And I never did anything moral or illegal to buy my home. I was determined to let my kids have safety, but every tenant and person looked at me sideways when I said that it was mine, the house that is. And they did everything in their power to make me lose it.
Yes,
see, this country is filled with wicked people.
Yes,
and
yes,
I mean a lot had to do with those new imposters who claim in our names. This is a text that's coming through.
Yeah.
I don't know why I always go back to that. Anyway, I'm not going to fight you. Right? I'm 323-623-3235-4316-325-4259. Anywhere from the family violence to 242-300-5720. Hit me up on those particular things. Or hit me up 422-4796 on the text. Let me read this text. He says, you got to be joking, Howard. Do you know that there are gay men in Bar Jamaica? Listen, man. Listen. You think I'm naive? You think I'm naive to know that sin and immorality exist everywhere? I'm simply saying, when I grew up, this was not prevalent. This is nothing that we saw, not on a regular basis. Not that, see, because everybody is flamboyant and out now, and they're showing you their pride, quote unquote, their pride. And so now it's easily identifiable, right? But when you, I grew up in the 80s.
You know the group Hot Chocolate?
I don't know Hot Chocolate.
Where did you come from, baby? Didn't you know I needed you?
I know that song.
No, I give my heart gladly. I was singing that all my life. I love that song. And then I saw the video. I said,
you're wasting Trump.
I didn't know.
Trump said, Trump says, only two sexes in America, male and female.
But
and
I didn't know.
We ain't into this, we ain't into that. And say, and by the way, let's bring out the Village Boys. Why? Trump, you're confusing me. What are you doing? What are you doing, Trump? What are you doing? Right? What are you doing? Let's take a telephone call. Call her on the line. Go ahead.
Hey, Howard. How you doing?
Hey, what's up?
I had to call you back on the lady who lost her house, you know.
Yeah.
That's been happening for many decades, and it's pure.
Yes.
Well, and what you have done, God.
We should have allowed our people to do what is called a reverse mortgage. So if you pay $1,200 on your house, and it's a 30-year mortgage, after 25 years of paying $1,200, you miss two payments, three, whatever, they take your house, right? They should allow you to fall on hard times. In the USA, have a reverse mortgage. So you miss, you know you can miss 6 months because you're out of a job, you're looking for another one, right? So what they do is they take $1,200 equity out of your house for that 6 months. So what will happen is when you get your job, You know, you were 5 years away. Now you're 5 years and 6 months away, but you keep your house. There's a million things we could have done. There's a million things we could have done in this country.
Not just could have done. They could still do.
Well, they should do effective immediately because they don't want you to have some hard times again.
So, they don't want you to have these people don't want us to have nothing. These politicians don't concern what we get.
That's why we got 3 million acres of crown land. And what is it to give 100,000 Bahamians?
They need that as leverage for whatever deal they get cut.
Well, if we give you an acre of land, right? That's called empowerment because you can go to the bank and say, I got an acre of land. I'd like.
But if you are now empowered,
you don't need them.
If you are empowered, empowerment is being able to feed a man, right? This is what Lyndon Pillen said. We ain't just giving you a fish. We're teaching you how to fish. This empowerment is being able to feed them perpetually, in perpetuity, forever.
Howard, not only that, we can teach you how to build a boat and own the boat.
Okay.
And the fishing line.
But do you believe that the level of politicians that we have in this country are prepared to be able to truly empower these people?
Of all, if any of them for the last 50 years wanted you empowered, you would have been empowered. Can you imagine your significant other, your wife, Howard, you married for 50 years and you don't take her to Valentine once? See, it's the caliber of person that you have, not if they have the vision or the dream. What's the credentials to be a leader in this country?
To be able you have to inhale, exhale oxygen and allow the blood to flow through.
Be popular.
At least, able to stand up and
most
speak.
The most popular.
What's the criteria? Because if you can't run a hot dog stand or a soup kitchen, how are you coming to run a whole country? You have to show me that you've
That's
done
the
something.
Question. That is
if
the question
if
now.
If you're an excellent car washing man or woman and you've made great money washing cars, like right now, I'd wash cars for $10 because that'll beat everybody around the corner. See, if you can show me that you have any kind of business acumen, you don't have to own the most expensive business. But you can show me you know how to make money because the country got to make money. Mm-hmm. If you're just showing me you know how to loaf, well, I don't want a loafer running the country. You'll have a hospital like you got
but
after
Graham,
50 years.
Graham, what you just said just now, you need to underscore that. And you need to just put it in bold italics.
Yeah. Yeah.
The country needs to make money. People don't understand that we are a British colony, but Britain itself is a money-making machine.
Yes.
Great Britain is actually incorporated as a business, the whole of Great Britain. The King of England works in tourism under the salary of the House of Windsor and other estates as an incorporation. That's how America. That's how Great Britain runs.
A lot of people don't know there's a city within a city in London. There's the
That's
city
what I'm saying.
Of London, the secret city of London.
Yes.
You think the New York Stock Exchange? No, the British financial system has been around
That's correct.
Before.
That. We're not here for tourism and giggling and laughing with other people. You're supposed to be making money.
How do we get our people wealthy? I invite anybody to call the show. We got 15 minutes left. How do we get the majority of our people wealthy? And if they can't answer that, give me back my government car. And let me give it to Howard because he could sit there and tell me. I could come tomorrow morning and sit with Howard and we could tell you how to. I sat with Leslie Miller and Clint Watson and we raised $23 billion in 20 minutes. Before the pandemic.
I like that. I like what you said.
Why you don't do that? Put a show on, Howard. Bring some sensible people and let's talk about how we could get the citizens of this country wealthy and how we could flip the script. Because right
send
now,
me a list of these sensible people
the
you know.
And some other people getting wealthy and the Bahamian people getting more broke.
Send me a list of these sensible people. We'll make it happen. I appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much. Now, well, as I listen to these particular things, and I think a lot of us have good ideas about the next steps that we need to be able to take. I just don't know whether or not our politicians are prepared to do that. And none of them can say. None of them can show themselves weak and show themselves scared and indifferent to being able to make these decisions. None of them can say. They won't say. The only thing that they would say is that this is a system that I've met there before and I have a job. I have a job to keep. Let's take a next telephone call. Caller, go ahead.
Hey, Howard. Hey,
what's up, my brother? I hear from you a little while. What's going on with you?
Well, I spend a lot of time listening to the pulse of the nation, which is the Bahamian people. You know, sometimes you just got to take a break and just listen to where the mindset of our people are, and that determines whether we are on that right path towards prosperity, or whether we decided to negate and remain exactly where we are. But I said all of that to say this. I mean, the words that both of you have proclaimed out of your mouth for the past half hour, you know, are so profound. I'm pretty sure a lot of persons have contemplated, and then there are those that just flew over their heads. I'm one of those now who believe that, you know, the same old way that we do things in this country, because it became the status quo, it doesn't have to be. We can actually begin to change the paradigm, shift it in a way where you talk about true empowerment of the Bahamian people and giving them the power of ownership of their country. That is what a lot of the persons who are and who have already acquired a lot of financial prosperity and ownership of our of many major parcels of land in this country. They do not want the average Bahamian to prosper in this country. Mm-hmm. I've said it before, as simple as your home. You believe you own your home. You don't even own your home.
That's
you spent
correct.
All these years, you borrowed money, you built your home, you paid your mortgage.
That's correct.
And yet, at the end of the period,
property tax.
You miss one or two payments or you do not pay your real property tax. The government comes and they invest your property.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, I am one of those that believe that if you are as simply as own your home for 30 years, that home, that real property tax should become null and void. Stop paying real property tax. The home is actually now your home. You don't owe anybody for it. It is yours. You don't need to pay for it anymore. But you see, like I said, it takes people with vision to think outside the box, stop just focusing on these so-called systems we met in place. Refine them and do some real serious change to show that you want your people to prosper. In order to control you, they keep you exactly where you are. Money, as we know it, and land, as we know it, as long as you don't own those two things, you are now in. They now control you. You know, and when you start empowering the people by giving them these things that they know will give you the power to prosper, give you the power to say no to a lot of these people who come to you with these plans that is not in your best interest, and you can tell them no, then they don't want that. They want to be able to control you. They want to be able
and
to
this
have
is
the
what
power
I said. This is what I said. There aren't many politicians, and I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. I got to go to a break. Thank you so very kindly for your call. I haven't heard from Jeff in a little while, but this is what I said. Mm-hmm. These politicians are not concerned about what you have, what you don't have, what you need to get. They're concerned about the retention of power.
That's
and this
correct.
Is why I've said there needs to be a bigger vision for a better Bahamas.
There has to be.
Bigger vision for a better Bahamas. You have to see the Bahamas outside of the walls of your political organization. We bigger than that.
You should.
Let's take a quick break, guys, and be right back after this.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Dominican Republic, destination for the team. When an all-expense-paid trip for two by San and three, or more money transfers to enter, what a deal. With Western Union, you get to see just how it feels. Yeah.
Esto está caliente.
Te barrias.
Really hard.
Hola. Taking pictures for the gram just to show you we are. GK money be the motion, papi, mamacita. Go to Chris Kennedy, the team is right because Dominican Republic, destination for the team. When an all expense paid trip for two by San and three, or more money transfer a deal. With Western Union, you get to see just how it feels, yeah. To see just how it feels, yeah. Western Union.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sunday. Repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools. Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company, just being able to talk the way that we are. And had a good conversation, enjoyed this today. But before we go further, I got to be able to remind you guys, and we got to be able to put a soft prayer up and be able to acknowledge and at least keep in our prayers in our hearts the Ingram family. Former Prime Minister Hubert Ingram is laying his daughter Kelly to rest today. I think it's Tuesday. Is it today?
It is Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. It is Tuesday today, right? He's laying his daughter to rest today after... her death, I think it was last weekend.
Yeah, last week Monday.
Last week Monday. Mm-hmm. And
12 o'clock.
You know, that really did something to their family. I think it was sudden. I think it was unexpected. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, and as a result of that, sometimes it's easier to be able to go the anguish of sickness for everyone involved. Not necessarily you who are passing away. But for everyone involved to be able to get proper closure, for you to be able to do all those things, this kind of a quick death thing is a lot for a family to kind of ingest.
Well, it's all, and we empathize and sympathize. But it also reminds us of our own mortality, that all that we, like you said, we fight for, where does it go? You
know?
What does it profit a man, you know?
To gain the whole world and lose his soul.
And lose your way, yeah.
They got to be able to do that. And so Prime Minister Ingram and your wife and all those particular persons, the other brothers and sisters of Kelly, the brother and the sisters of Kelly, and all the family, by the extension of the family, we say condolences to you, and we continue to be able to pray that the Father watches you in your time of bereavement.
Yes,
and be able to look over you and move in that particular direction. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there before we got out of here, and didn't want to wait till the last minute of the show to do that, because I didn't want to forget. I put that in that in the atmosphere, at least for you to be able to put up a soft prayer for the family who's going through their time right now.
Yeah.
But, guys, we're talking today, man, and we're talking good. And a lot of persons are kind of inclined to be able to move in one direction or another. And I think to surmise this, we started off talking about chairman and now the Minister for Foreign Affairs, or he calls it the Foreign Service. Yeah, it's Foreign Service. He's called it the Foreign Service. He's the Minister of Foreign Affairs, but he calls it Foreign Service. And so we started off with being able to identify, well, I started off by being able to identify his ilk, that he's cut from a different political cloth. And I don't know whether or not that cloth can be able to withstand the rugged nature of the politics that exist in this time.
Well, he is the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party. And what I'm reading into
each
all of his
political organizations need a youthful chairman.
But what I'm reading from him is that he is now prepared to dismiss the other parties as being junior to the Progressive Liberal Party.
But that's always been his posture,
though. I know, and separate himself from them, or separate his party from them, because any complaint that they now make, in his estimation, is going to be nonsensical.
But that's his posture.
Yeah.
I remember him in 2017. When he lost Fox Hill.
Mm-hmm. I know he was shocked.
But you would never know.
You
assume that he was shocked.
The devotion they have to him and Fox Hill is just
listen, you would assume that he was shocked.
But he had to be.
You would, but
I know, but he stayed
then
the course.
We saw him and he said, well, you win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
You get it this time, we didn't get it this time, but you know, next time we'll be back. Boom. Yeah. And that was it.
That was it. And it was a prophecy that
was it.
That was
and the next time
it was his
he
time.
Was back.
Yeah.
So you look at these things and you realize that There is, he is, this is what I'm saying to you. He is right based upon the historical, cyclical nature of politics in our country. He is correct. This may be nonsensical because we can see this again.
But you just showed me something. You showed me something.
However, for the next dispensation of youthful leaders who are just waking up at the age of 24, 25, 26, getting involved in politics, he has the responsibility to explain to us why this is nonsensical.
Okay, but let me say this to you, because you just woke up a nerve in me. I'm so sorry the show is coming to a close shortly. You said that. He said you win some, you lose some, we'll be back. And he came back. He made sure that he came back. We didn't see Arnold Forbes come back. We didn't see Deion Smith come back. And that whole crew from 2012 to 2017, we lost all of those, that young crew. This is a new young crew. So it's the message now that the young crew, if you lose now, there's a very high chance
that you wouldn't be back.
We ain't going to see you no more, buddy. But Fred Mitchell know how to get back if he won't get back.
Yeah, he's senior in this thing.
That's what I'm saying to you.
They're obligated to make sure that he's straight.
Paisel Forbes and all the rest, and they know how to stay in the midst thereof. Whereas the young people, if you don't do it
They try to throw him off the boat, though.
God,
he hold on to that life vest.
He must learn something.
Jesus, he hold on to that thing. Actually, he's still on the side of this boat.
But he cut his deal.
Man, come on the boat.
They couldn't shake him out of South Andreas. He had to cut a deal. South Andreas people, loyal as ever.
Listen to me.
Hey, Stop talking foolishness. South Andreas loyal.
Paisel was done in South Andreas.
He is done, but the PLP wasn't done. As long as he is the representative for the PLP in South Andreas,
South Andreas wasn't concerned about who.
How many terms he had there? That's what I'm trying to tell you. They only vote in PLP.
They vote in PLP.
Right now, I heard, we tired of Lundy. Watch them vote for Lundy again.
Listen, whoever the PLP sent to South Andreas,
they win. That's it.
Okay?
They win.
Now, Paisel just wanted that to be him.
Yeah, but he still had to cut a deal to get him out of there.
Now, if you remember, there were certain names being floated around who was going to...
Replace him.
And who was causing this turmoil for him. If you remember...
I don't know the inside story.
We got to call on him.
I know the inside story.
You know the inside story.
Of course, I used to be the pastor down there.
And I also know the inside story because Paisel gave me the story himself.
Oh, Lord.
Paisel is a good friend.
I know some things, and you know some things.
Paisel is a good friend, yeah. Okay?
We don't know everything, so we know some things.
Let's get deep. For 2 seconds, I can get deep. Paisel wanted to be able to identify his position. I was on ZNS at the time. And he wanted people to be reminded. I used to always get calls from South Andreas. He wanted people to be reminded that this is Paisel Forbes. Remember what I've done for you. As a down home boy, I just put a spigot down by the thing. I won't be able to taste the first cup of water. This Paisel got at the start. Yeah. He marginal.
Annie so and so and Uncle so and so.
Listen,
Paisel
marginal.
Yeah, David Roll and all the rest
Paisel
of them.
Paisel said, man, I just want to turn on that spigot and just take that water when I put that tank down there. And I just won't be able to do that. The first basketball I will play on the court.
Yeah.
And just give me a chance. I said, Paisel, come on the show with me today. Because Paisel, again, the bat fan, Paisel is my guy. Right?
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Right? And Paisel is one of the only politicians that both political organizations don't see as a threat.
Yeah. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's really pleasant.
He's almost like a bipartisan.
He's like your brother.
He's your son. He's a nicer version to Leslie Miller, right?
Yeah.
So you like him, right?
Yeah.
So earlier, Paisel make you laugh. He pull you in, he tell you a couple of jokes, and so forth and so on. And I say, Paisel, come. Where my show is starting at 6 o'clock. Paisel called me at 5:50. He really didn't come on. Because I didn't tell people what we can do.
Uh-huh.
Right? So he didn't come on. And Paisel says, Howard, I got a meeting with the financial boss them. He tell me who it is. I'm not going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He said, I got a meeting with the boss them. And look like they can do something for me. Hold out on the show, right? If you can see exactly this one. So I said, okay, Paisel, no problem. Right?
Uh-huh.
So... Paisel called me the next day.
Uh-huh.
Me and him sat down, and he tell me what happened.
Uh-huh.
So I said, Paisel, it sounded like you're straight. He said, well, I ain't signed nothing yet, Howard, but it looked like a straight. I said, all right, then let me finish with that. So he knew that his time was up.
Yeah, and you're straight.
So all I'm saying to you is that there isn't any loyalty to individuals.
And loyalty to self.
There's no loyalty to individuals. You may find that loyalty, because Centerville has already shown us that there's no loyalty to individuals or party. I tell you, Nassau is cutthroat. But you may find some grace in the family of islands, Cat Island.
You might. Yeah, you might.
You might find
Cat Island, grace. Yeah, Cat Island really gracious and loving.
You might find some grace.
You know, Cat Island, when you're coming down on the plane starts revoicing in the air. So when it touched the ground, it was in full revoice. Just to stop the plane in time.
Because the
runway too short.
My God.
And then you see the tent on the side of the airport. That's supposed to be your welcome terminal. You never been Canada?
Well, I hope they fixed. I never been Canada.
But Jesus, Lord. Like when I saw the woman say, my Lord, when we can get an airport down here. I say that's the problem.
No.
Yeah.
Well, guys, that's the show today. I want to thank you so very kindly for being able to tune in with us. Thank you so much for being able to talk like this. Hopefully these things could penetrate. You could think on these things as we continue to be able to move forward for a bigger vision for a better Bahamas. I'm grateful to be here. Tomorrow we're going to have a good conversation with Ms. Yang and those nurses and being able to have a good conversation with that. So I want you to join me tomorrow. We'll see you here next time right on The Foundation. Have a great day, guys. See you tomorrow. Godspeed. Foundation.